Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Talk Zone. I'm Sammy V. As usual, waiting for Maria to get on the line here, but we're going to start off in NCAA. This past week, there was a passing of a legend and somebody I grew up watching to coach, and that of Temple's John Chinley. I love the way he did his matchup defense. I've studied it, I followed it, and I've used it when I was coaching basketball to try to see if I can implement it just like he did. And I can tell you right now that it is pretty hard to do what he did for as long as he did. He was a legend at Temple, and he was really one of my idols in basketball coaching to go along with Calipari and Coach K, Lou Olsen, all the rest of, you know, John Thompson, all the great coaches of that era growing up watching it, you know, and studying the game as I did. I remember watching him on a couple of occasions playing, and I was mesmerized just how those kids bought in, how he would give them that little bit of extra little push just by talking to him as he came to the sideline, pretty much kind of yelling at him at times, but they were really good at responding to him, and not enough people realize what he did in that town in Philadelphia just to help get that college basketball team off the ground and going good. As we wait for Maria to get on here, I would like to invite you guys to come and follow us every week and to just pretty much give us your opinion. Feel free to type in, text in, and give us your opinion on what we're talking about, if you have anything you want to hear or anything else on that. Now I see that Maria is on as of right now. How are you doing? If she can hear me. Not seeing as she can hear me right now. Well, as we were talking about that, we do have big news going on in the world of the NFL with a couple with the trade actually going through yesterday. I'm hoping to get some feedback on it, but as you know, the Lions traded Matt Stafford to the Rams in exchange for a third-round pick in this year's draft, followed by two back-to-back first-round picks in 2022 and 2023. And they got Jared Goff. So my question to you, Chyle, is what do you think of that trade?
Well, you know, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I think the trade was more for the Rams to get rid of Goff's contract. Now, what we've seen with this trade, you know, the questions are, what are we going to expect with the Watson trade? You know, the Rams did have to throw more things in there just to get rid of that contract. Stafford, I think he's going to, the Rams are on win now mode with that trade. So we're going to see how it's going to play out. You have Stafford, who's going to have a good offense now, better than what he had at Detroit. So it's going to be pretty interesting what he could do with the remaining time he has.
Yeah, with Stafford being on the back end of his career, it is a win now for the Rams, carrying an upgrade in mobility on the quarterback position. They're going within the next 4 years. They have to win in this time because he's going to be giving up a first-round pick last year, a first round pick this year to go along with that third round pick when they traded for Jalen Ramsey, plus a fourth rounder this year, and plus these next two first rounds, they're going to rely heavily on their late round pick and free agents in order to keep that solid team around Matt Stafford and hopefully do something.
Yes, and I think that's what the main reason they did the trade was to get Goff's contract off their books. It was I don't know why they gave that contract in the first place. But now they're gonna focus on the next two to four years, like you mentioned, and it's a must win for them now.
Yeah, it was more to get Goff off the books. And we might see a similar situation with Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. And you know, that just goes to show that, yeah, a quarterback can have a good year. Look at Nick Foles. But a lot of these teams, they jump the gun based on popularity at the moment instead of weighing the options and going long on something other than a quarterback that has a decent 1 year.
Yeah, and, you know, Goff, yeah, when he was under the other coaches, I forgot his name, but he wasn't performing well. And then McVay came and he started doing well. And I think they thought, you know, he is going to be our future. But I don't know if it's a trend in the NFL where, you know, the team goes to the Super Bowl and then the next year they pretty much suck. And the Rams did jump the gun and gave him a contract that wasn't good for them in terms of the amount that they did. But they got it off the books, and I think that was their priority. So now the Detroit Lions, they could either build around him, and if they think he's going to be their franchise quarterback, or they have some picks to draft maybe the future quarterback this year. Who knows?
I think that's what the Lions are going to do. I think they're going to use Goff as a bridge quarterback. He's established in the NFL. He has won some games, obviously. He's made it to the Super Bowl, which shouldn't have happened. Because, you know, considering how they actually got there, he was helped out by a good run game. But that, you know, shows what teams that jump the gun do. And then also in the NFL, that situation with Deshaun Watson in Houston shows what teams don't do when they have an exceptional talent that they signed to the long-term contract.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting how the Watson whole thing situation unfolds in the coming days. Knowing the Texans, they have been notorious for not getting a good return on their trades. So they could either get a good trade package or they could let them go for nothing. We don't know. It's the Texans.
Yeah, and they're the South's version of the Cleveland Browns, and pretty much because they signed Brock Osweiler after he had a good year in Denver. They signed it to a big contract. That didn't work. When they first started, they had a decent quarterback in David Carr, but they had no offensive line to block for him, so that really didn't work. Then they hit something with Watson, but they just haven't been able to get a good team around him. They traded away Hopkins. They have no idea what that GM was doing, and luckily they got rid of him. And now, not only that, but J.J. Watt wants out.
Yes, I heard about that.
Reportedly. So. Yeah, reportedly he wants out. But I don't – the only place they can go, I mean, they're going to – if they want to trade, if somebody wants to trade for him, they're going to have to involve a couple more teams in order to get him out and then get something in return.
Yeah. You know what, Sam? As a Cowboy fan, there's only room for one team in Texas, and that's the Cowboys. So the Texans could just – pack the bags and go somewhere else.
They can. I do like the fact that Houston did get another team. I missed the old Houston Oilers Dallas Cowboy rivalry in that state. That was a good rivalry when they back in the day when both teams were actually good. But yeah, there is only one. There's only room for one team, and that's the Cowboys. And that's why, you know, that's why we have the Kansas City Chiefs now, is because there was only one. There was only room for one team in Dallas, and they kicked the Dallas Texans out to go to Kansas City, and you know, lo and behold, we got the Cowboys. But I see Houston leaving Houston. I mean, if you do a 4-team trade, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks moving around. You could involve San Francisco and possibly New England. Rumors are that San Francisco wants to get rid of Garoppolo, but the only place that he could fit, in my mind, is back in New England. And that would involve them involving Houston and the Jets in order for everybody to be happy. But moving on, we have news in the soccer world. What is going on there?
Yeah, so on the soccer end, we did have the league contract of Messi. And for the people that haven't been following much on that soccer situation, or just don't follow soccer in general, there was only 5 people that knew about the contract from Barcelona. And, you know, one of those people is out already, which was the president. And now Messi is actually going to take action, and he's going to sue the people from Barcelona who had knowledge of that contract. And Barcelona, on their end, are going to sue the newspaper El Mundo, that is the second biggest newspaper in Spain, that leaked it. Now, to give a little bit of overview onto the Barcelona situation. Back in February of last year, there was a report that came out that Barcelona actually paid a social media firm to talk bad about Messi, Piqué, and other players. So now they're doing this in a way to make it seem like Messi is the reason why Barcelona is in a financial crisis, which is not the case. We know the old president, Bartomeu, who resigned after Messi said that he was not going to come back to Barcelona. He was going to, you know, not sign a contract. And it just, the dominoes started falling from there. So it's going to, you know, Barcelona's a circus right now. As a fan, I hate seeing, you know, just a team going through that. So we're going to see. Personally, I think if they don't hurry up with the elections and get a new president that could come and talk to Messi and say, look, this is our project. We want you to be in here. You know, we don't care. Like the he's earned every euro or pound, whatever they pay him in. He's earned every penny of that. And, not only that, but he does generate a lot of money for Barcelona. A lot of these fans that come from India, just Asia in general, that go into Camp Nou to watch games, they usually go there because of Messi. So they're that board is shooting themselves on the feet. They're crippling themselves, but making Messi, who won them trophies and brought so much to a FC Barcelona, they're just, in my opinion, it's not the way to go. It's not the way to treat a legend, a future legend.
Yeah, and then to throw his contract, I kind of read up on what that leak was, and playing it in U.S. dollars, if everything goes good and the contract is true over the next 4 seasons, if he meets some of the conditions that are on the contract, he can make up to $680 million. That's a lot of money that they invested in him and that he can generate.
Well, that contract was signed in 2017. His contract ends this summer. As of right now, in January, he's free to negotiate with any other team if he wants to move to a different team for free. You know, at the beginning of summer when he said he told the old president, like, I want to trade. I think, I'm not sure if the rumors were true, but I think Man City were willing to pay $150 to Barcelona to get Messi. They said no, because obviously no one wants to let go of the moneymaker, right? So now come summer, he could leave for free. But I think he's holding out to see what the future president's project is going to be. And we have Laporta and Font, who I think are going to battle it out, but I think they're going to go with Laporta. He's been president before, and he kind of did deal with a similar situation economically. So hopefully things do start turning around for Barcelona.
And they really need to, and for all pretty much all sports, because, yeah, if you look at the books and what is being reported, big thing is they're not generating the fan income, the income of people going to the stadium, watching the game. Obviously, coronavirus is really pulled back. We're going to see a similar situation in the NFL come to CBA with the new salary cap, but that's where it comes from, overspending on certain players or saying you're going to pay so much for certain players and shipping them off and still having to owe other teams, put them in a situation to where everything becomes a headache now.
Yeah, and it's gonna, like I said, every team and any sport, they take that financial hit due to COVID. I don't think someone who's been giving so much to the game, I don't think they should be, your own team shouldn't be hiring someone on social media to talk crap about you. That's just disrespectful, especially if you gave your whole childhood, you've been with that team. So that's honest. As a fan, I wouldn't be mad if he does end up leaving in the summer. And I'll still support him with whichever team he goes. And I'm still going to support Barcelona. But he wants to win. He's at the end of his career almost. So his focus is having fun and winning. I don't know if you watched any soccer games, but he hasn't looked happy as he has before. And it's showing on the field. So hopefully, like I mentioned, everything starts turning around come summer and things start getting better.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait and see on what happens in that.
Yeah. And sticking to soccer, last time we did talk about Chelsea. If things continue, they were going to fire Frank Lampard, and that's exactly what they did. What are your thoughts on that, Sam?
Oh, it was a long time coming. It was set that everything was trending that way, and they had no choice but to change the culture of that team. They just weren't responding well, and they had to just change it up. And sometimes you need that. If things are going down and everything's not looking right, you just need a change in venue and a change in leadership to get your players back on track and be competitive.
Yeah, and, Chelsea going into the summer transfer window, they did spend $220 million, I think it was pounds, to get new players. Obviously, they did have a good start to the season, but they started dropping a lot of points where it was just a matter of time of when he was going to get fired. And yes, he's a legend. He's going to continue being a legend. No one's going to argue that. And let's not forget that Chelsea is also known to fire coaches who just come from winning the league the next season. So I think they need organization at the top as well, from the ownership down, and stick to something that's going to work out and not fire a coach if they have a good season. I do agree with the fire of Frank Lampard, just because the results were not there, and he was giving some time to turn things around. And let's see, I actually do like the hire of Tuchel. He did take PSG to the Champions League finals last year. And I like his playing style. I think we're gonna see a different Chelsea under him.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to change their style or the message that they're trying to portrayed to the team. It's just a new voice. And sometimes the new voice is what you see it in the NFL, and sometimes the NBA, and all the time is that the head guy is probably preaching a certain message, but the players are just tired of hearing it. Bring in new blood, a younger guy, let them say the same message, but a different voice, a different fire, and teams respond differently.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Timo Werner and Kai Havertz are going to benefit from him because he speaks German and he's going to be able to communicate with them and make them know what he wants from his team. So it's gonna be interesting to see. You know, I don't expect much because it's almost at the second half of the season. But I think next year Chelsea's going to be an excited team to watch.
I think so, too. Well, now we're moving over to the NBA and last night's marquee matchup with the Lakers and the Celtics, 17 titles versus 17 titles. I didn't get to see it live. I did get home late, but I recorded it, and I stayed up late to watch it again. Did you by chance catch that game?
I didn't get a chance to catch the game. I did see some highlights. It was a good old rivalry. You know, it's always going to be that. It's always going to be Celtics and Lakers, and people are always going to tune in to watch that because it's a good old grindy rivalry game. And luckily, the Lakers did come out on top. And I do feel bad for the injury that Marcus Smart sustained.
Yeah, I ended up going back and watching that multiple times, and it's really hard to see exactly what happened, but it did look like maybe he had a slight pull in his calf, and that's really tricky. Going up, aggressive play, comes down, everything looks good, and then like a half a slide step, and it just looked funky, like something wasn't right. I really thought he maybe had got stepped on, after he had landed, but it's hard to tell. I hope he recovers good and comes back because the team's definitely going to need him, especially if they want to make a run. But watching that game, man, what a game it was. That was old school Lakers, Celtics being tight all the way to the end. In all honesty, with that shot at the end, luckily it didn't fall, but Lakers should have lost that game based on just what I've seen with them mishandling the ball, trying to force a few shots early on and early in that second half, taking out of position shots. And it was a Celtics game to lose, and they gave it away to the Lakers, who held on at the end. But it could be entirely different if those points and breakaway shots were actually converted on the Celtics end.
Yeah, going back to the Marcus Smart, they did say he was going to be out, I believe, 2 to 3 weeks. It was a calf, I'm not sure what it was with this calf. So luckily for him, he's not out that long for the Celtics as well, that they're going to need him going down the stretch. And I have a question for you, Sam. Do you think, the Lakers have been not performing to expectations the last few games? Do you think there being signs of fatigue with the team with the short season?
Yes and no. I think that there is obviously some of the stars are going to need rest. I do see them on a couple back-to-backs that are coming up that they will, LeBron and AD will probably take a game off just to rest their body and get an extended resting period. But they have enough depth there where they don't need to force them to play long minutes. And the team can step up. Kuzma's been stepping up. Obviously, we got Dennis Schroeder. He's legit. He can play some good minutes. Harrell's played some good minutes. They have a team. I mean, they go through this every year. It's known as the Grammy trip. They have 8 away games, sometimes a little more, but it's just picking and choosing when they get to rest, because right now it doesn't matter how many games you win in the regular season as long as you get into the playoffs, and then that's when you play every night.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not really paying too much attention to the rankings at the moment, just because, you know, there's been games that have been postponed and due to COVID. So I'm not really following the rankings. It's going to come down more later on when we're at the end of the season already, where we're going to see, you know, I think right now, like you mentioned, they are going to pick games where they're going to be resting LeBron, Davis, and they'll play the tough match, the games that we have to win. But we'll see. Hopefully they don't show signs of exhaustion later on, especially come playoff time.
Yeah, and, you know, it's affecting everybody differently. You look at the Lakers, who right now are possibly still the best team, even though they don't have the best overall record. That belongs to Utah, but Utah's played two less games than the Lakers have. You look at the Lakers, who are coming off that deep finals run, and Miami's really struggling at the moment. You know, just it goes to the depth of both teams and, you know, how much they did in the offseason to retool those teams. I don't think the Lakers would have been in this spot if they didn't go out and get Harrell or go get Gasol or Schroeder. If they would have stuck with that team from last year, they would have had a very different record right now because of that.
Yes, I think that those guys have been a great addition to the Laker roster. I was looking, going over the rankings, and I seen that, you know, the Raptors and the Heat have been struggling at, you know, compared to last year. So we might have two different teams in the playoffs if it continues like that.
Yeah, and then the ones that are sneaking up that gotta watch out for a little bit. I mean, you got Charlotte, who, if they figure it out, they can possibly sneak in as an 8 seed. You also have New York. They can get in. The Nets are obviously going to be in there no matter what, because they're big three, even though Harden has dropped statistically since he's gone to the Nets. And speaking on that, since that trade, Houston has won 5 straight. So kind of showing a little early signs that maybe Harden was the problem there with that team.
Yeah, we're gonna see. I think we're gonna have a clear view of if he was or not coming towards the end of the season. But it's, you know, the Rockets, they're gonna be a young team, so it's seeing them win. I think you know. How would I say this? You have these players. You have John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, and you have the Christian Wood as well. So you have a team to build around, and not just one player that's going to be all about himself. So it's going to be pretty interesting, exciting to see what the Houston Rockets could become.
Yeah, and it's nice to see, you know, that since the 90s, that team has always been a powerful team. Then they go out and get Harden. It was good for the start, but it became all, you know, pretty much put on his shoulders, and everything flowed through James Harden. And now with him gone, you could tell the transition they did, where they're going for, we're going to cater to him. We're going to bring in the team that's supposedly going to help him play small ball so he can get his shots, to now going back to that team aspect. And it looks like, I mean, their defense is really picked up. I think they're going to be a really tough out in the playoffs. And if I was the Clippers on that bottom end of that bracket, I would be worried if Houston gets in, because I think they match up well with them and they can give them a headache.
Yes, I think so too. But we have to see if Cousins and Wall can stay healthy for that. I do hope they do, just because they're both coming off injuries, and it's great to see them back and playing So a lot of things could happen, and if they stay healthy, they could be a surprise.
Yeah, it could be a really big surprise. And as we get closer to the trade deadline, do you think anybody's going to make a play for Bradley Beal to get him out of Washington? Because right now I feel sorry for the guy.
Yeah, this guy, he's putting up numbers, and it's just not enough. And it shows that a team cannot be a one-man team, you know. Westbrook, I can't say much. I don't know what to say. But I honestly, if some teams are trying to contend and if they do have a package, I do see probably one or three teams trying to put a package for him.
Yeah, I think to get him out, I think it would be in his best interest to try to get out. Not necessarily force the hand of the team like Harden did early on, but him going to a different team would be what's better for him in his career, because even with Westbrook there, it doesn't seem like a good fit, those two together. And
yeah,
Bradley Beal has earned the right to play for a title.
Yeah, and he's earned that not just this year, previous seasons. Yeah, he's been balling out, and this guy does deserve to be on a contending team. He does deserve to win that championship. And I hope he – doesn't matter what team he goes to, as long as it's a team that's able to contend, you know, I won't hate on that trade, because that guy, he deserves it.
As long as it's a contender. He can't go from bad team to bad team. That's the one thing they can avoid. They have to avoid that.
Yeah, of course not. He's not gonna go to that. He's gonna go to a contender. Probably on the — do you see him going to a team on the East or the West? What is more likely to you?
Right now I see him going to the West. I think they're gonna send him to the other conference, just because they don't want to see him, if by chance they turn around and make the playoffs. Don't see that happening. But I think that they'll just – right now at this point, the odds are he goes to the West, but they could keep him in the East and trade him to somebody that has a chance, somebody that can get in and give him that chance to play for a title.
Yeah. As a fan, I wish Lakers had – trade package, but unfortunately we don't. So I think Lakers pretty much ruled out of a trade, unless they give up, I believe, THT, because he's been drawing interest. But I don't see Lakers going for him, so it'll be any other contending team on the West.
Yeah, the only ones possibly, I mean, on the West, it's really tough. I don't see Dallas making a trade. I don't see the top four Western teams making a trade. Maybe San Antonio.
What about the Rockets? You think the Rockets will do a trade? I mean, they do have some draft picks.
It's going to cost a lot. It'll be a lot of first-rounders. And then that'll be something, huh? You got Westbrook from Houston, and then you get back all your first-rounders to get Bradley Beal. That'll be the icing on the cake there.
Yeah, I see mostly – yeah, like you mentioned, I do see mostly the Spurs on the West. I don't know what other teams are willing to give up or have available, but Spurs would be a team I do see at least trying.
Yeah, at least – yeah, make a shot, make a phone call or two, and just see if they can get them.
Yeah. I think they will make that phone call and see how much it's going to cost. And if they are asking for too much, it'll be a no.
Yeah.
But he's worth it. Yeah, exactly.
Well, as the calendar turns to February tomorrow, that means baseball is right around the corner. And all the news so far has seemed to be in the NL West. Obviously, we have two different teams that we like in the West, but all the news has been centered around there, all the big moves, actually. And we're going to start off with the trade yesterday. the Rockies traded Nolan Arenado, the third baseman, to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And I am happy they did it. Being a Giants fan, it was not with the game on the line, I hated seeing that Arenado was going to come up in that ninth inning. Just because he always found a way to get the ball in play.
Yeah. I was reading into that trade. You know, the Rockies are still going to retain $50 million of his remaining contract. And then they also get five players in return.
Yeah, and they could afford that $50 million. That's not a big deal for them. They always have cap space.
But, I mean, the Cardinals, they're going to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, and the Cardinals, they've taken two giant killers out of the West. They got Paul Goldschmidt out of Arizona. Now they're getting Nolan out of Colorado. I mean, St. Louis is going to be – they're going to be good. They're going to be tough to get out of the playoffs. I see them contending. They're going to be right there to go along with the other two teams that are pretty much – I don't know if you want to say – that the Dodgers are losing key components, or are they bringing up everything? They're so deep, but they lost Kike Hernandez to the Red Sox, and Jock Peterson is possibly going to sign with the Cubs.
I thought he did.
Did he finally sign?
I'm not sure. I thought it was agreed upon already.
Losing those two, I mean, takes two good bats out of the lineup, but that team is they set themselves up to be contenders for a few more years down the line. But losing those two, that right there, I think I don't want to sound biased being a Giants fan, but I think they really did those two a good service by letting them walk, because they really choked in the time that they did have them, only winning one title, minus the Houston fiasco. We're not going to go down that road and all the cheating and whatever it is. But they did have other opportunities to win titles that they should have, and just on some of those years couldn't get by St. Louis.
Yeah, and you know, as a Dodger fan, those losses did hurt. But yeah, you know, I like Kike. He had a good energy. I like the energy that they both brought. The Dodgers are setting themselves up for Bellinger and Seager. So I think they're focused on that instead of retaining players and spending money on those contracts. Just look at Justin Turner. You know, they want to re-sign him to believe 2 years, but he's looking for 4 years. So we'll see what happens on that end as well.
Yeah, but we also have Muncy, and I mean, that lineup is just they did a good job of building that lineup and that depth to really, really push them. Obviously, last year they got over the hump finally and got that title. But they should, realistically, even from a Giants fan, they should have had at least four titles during that whole team's good years.
And they should have. You know, I was mad as a fan watching those games and watching us choke. And, you know, especially to the Rockets, not the Rockets, the Astros. I'm still on the basketball.
Basketball.
I was like, wait, wrong team. Especially to them, you know, when we should have closed out games at the ninth inning, we led up and lost the lead, you know. We should have at least had three. But it is what it is. Can't change nothing. The Dodgers are still set up pretty well to keep contending. You know, we have some prospects. I think I think it's Rios. I think he's gonna do pretty well. I'm not sure if that's his name. I haven't followed up much on other news. But I think we do have we still have some good at bats, and we just gotta keep that offense, you know, them going, keep the bats going, keep getting those hits, and it's gonna be a pretty interested good season because we saw what the Chargers did, acquiring some other players. So it's gonna be exciting. It's gonna be competitive more than it is already. So I'm pretty excited to see.
And moving in that division, I mean, you go down to San Diego, and the Padres made a big trade, and they got Blake Snell out of Tampa Bay, and Snell did pretty well against the Dodgers in that World Series, and that's a big move. So losing Peterson and losing Hernandez, that kind of, you know, it plays a factor into that. I know you can lose those games still, those 20 games or whatever it is, whatever the MLB decides how long the schedule is going to be. You can lose the whatever matchups those are and still make a good run in the postseason. But
yeah, and Snell, he was making a sweat in the World Series, and when he got pulled out, we were happy. You know, yeah, so it's gonna be, everyone was questioning themselves that decision, even myself. But I was happy, can't complain. But it's gonna be interesting. I'm excited to see how all these things play out, how the teams end up looking and competing and keeping that rivalry, you know, that what makes sports exciting.
Yeah, and that's gonna be good. And that's why saving it for last, you know, with San Francisco, they're slowly building a sleeper over in San Francisco. I mean, they signed Alex Wood. They got Ragsdale. They got a second baseman in LaCella. They got a backup catcher that they signed. I wouldn't be surprised if that is a three-team race going into the final month of the season, mainly because if the Giants can somehow get another outfield arm, another power bat, and one more good, solid starting pitcher, they're going to be a – one of those teams that's going to surprise a lot of people, especially in the back end of Posey's and Crawford's careers. They're going to surprise a lot of people. I still don't think they're going to contend with the Padres and the Dodgers in the playoffs if they somehow squeak in on a second wild card. But I wouldn't be surprised if you hear San Francisco has a chance coming into that final month.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people are going to be focused on Dodgers versus Padres, on how that's going to play out.
Except for me.
And I was going to mention, but they're forgetting that there could be someone that creeps up, you know, and they can't let their guards down. You know, as a Dodgers, I hope they don't. I hope they don't do that. But it's going to be – I'm actually – you know, I'm not a big baseball fan, but I'm really excited just because of all these trades that are happening. And just to, you know, I hope COVID gets under control so we could go to one of these games.
Yeah, I would love to. I really, all depends where they're playing at, where they are at, because I would really love to go see them play and just be able to enjoy a game and good baseball and really, you know, just enjoy being in the stadium again. COVID is taking a toll out of everybody. Being up here in Fresno and being a big Fresno State Bulldog fan, having basketball games and football games played right down the street from where I live and not being able to go. And that's where it hurts a lot. It's like, dude, they're there, and not being able to go in stadium, having to settle for the TV screen is really, you could really feel the difference on it now.
Yeah, it's not the same. You know, like I mentioned, I was not a baseball fan. I thought it was boring. I was like, how could people sit and watch this long ass game? And you know, when I lived in LA, I told my wife, like, you know, let's go to a game. Let's go to a Dodger game. Like, let's go experience it. And we went, and it was against the Giants. And we were there Dodger out, and it was totally different. It made me like the game. Seeing it live, I got a different understanding, different perspective of the game. And I've gone other several times, and you know, it's just not the same. You want to be there in the atmosphere. You want to be able to enjoy and cheer and just have a beer there. You know, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it really is, it is a different feeling when you're actually there. I've gone and seen the Fresno Grizzlies, the Visalia Oaks. I've seen the AAA baseball up in Sacramento, and it just being at the ballpark is a completely different feeling than sitting down on the couch watching it. There's just something about it in that summer evening, summer afternoon. It's just something different about being there in person.
Yeah, and I tell people that. You know, they'll be like, oh, I don't like sports. I'm like, just go to a game and enjoy the atmosphere, and you'll have a different perspective of it. Gosh, I just can't wait for that. I honestly can't wait. That's what's missing.
Yeah, that's the main thing as a sports fan. That's what's missing, and I hope we can get to that point again where we can be there, even if we have to wear a mask at the stadium, just to be there.
Yes.
Well, that's all the time we have. Be on the lookout for our, well, at least for my NBA power ranking. And we will see you guys next week.